run over there and help her down, you know. Well, God bless you all. That is my wonderful wife, and she is a certified bad girl. I tell people all the time, I married way up, like took a running jump. Married way up. If we could all over this place, I give honor to the minister's staff here, and I don't take it lightly being up here. And if we could all just stand here, I'm gonna hydrate just a little bit. As you've heard, my name is Ahi. Oh, and I just received news that there's an ice cream social after service tonight. Let's go. So wanted to toss that out to you as well. But if it's okay, if you're sitting by someone where it's comfortable, if it's not comfortable, please don't, right? But if it's comfortable, you're okay with that. I want you just to grab someone by the hand and stretch your hand towards heaven, because I believe Jesus wants to do something miraculous here tonight. And while you have their hand, I want you to just go ahead and just begin to pray that God would speak directly to your heart. In the way that you know how, just begin to talk to him and tell him, speak to him, ask him, Jesus, speak directly to my heart. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, we need your presence, oh God. We need your power. We need your anointing, Lord. God, we can do nothing without you. We can't speak. We can't hear. We can't operate outside of your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord moves into the house, do you understand that the miraculous is the norm? When your father steps into the room, the miraculous isn't something we have to pull down that actually gets in the way. Because then flesh can boast, right? But when you understand that when Jesus steps into the room, not because of how holy you are, not because of how well you did whatever it is that you do, but simply because you have a heavenly Father that loves you, when you understand that when he steps into the room, the miraculous can happen, that frees God to do exactly what he wants to do in your life. How many know that he's made promises? Yeah. How many know that he's given us a book of promises? Yeah. How many know that those promises still stand? I want you to say, they still stand. Look at someone and say, they still stand. Poke somebody if they say, no, I'm telling you, they still stand. If you know this song, sing this chorus through it just one time. You can kick us off, because I'll start in the wrong key. Your promise still stands. Yeah. Yeah, we know this one. Hear these words.
I'm still in your hands.
This is my
confidence.
Let's sing that again. Your promise still stands. Great is your
faithfulness.
Hear the words as you're singing them. Here's my confidence. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Hallelujah. I'm gonna take a text. I'm gonna take a text out of Matthew 14. I'm gonna take a text out of Matthew 14, 28. I'm gonna talk to you for a moment. I'm gonna condense and I'm gonna move because I know we got nachos and ice cream calling us. But I'm gonna talk to you just for a moment because I believe that the Holy Spirit has something for somebody specific tonight. I don't want to pass that by. We're going to talk about what do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do? Matthew 14, 28, 30 says this, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, this is Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, say he got out, and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, now slow down there, you can't see air. He didn't see wind blowing around. He began to see the waves. Now, we can get hard on Peter sometimes. But in that area, the waves typically could be from 10 to 15 feet tall. So understand, he's walking on water, but these waves start coming up. These 10-foot waves that sometimes there's a good likelihood block Jesus to where he could no longer see Jesus. And so this is the scenario that he's away from the boat. He's walking on water. Jesus is becoming blurry. He was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You may be seated. Why don't you clap your hands unto Jesus one time as you're seated, though, and let you let your voice out on him. Jesus, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor, God. You're worthy of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, in this piece here, the enemy, how many of the enemy, you have an enemy of your soul? And no, it's not your spouse. Or your mother-in-law, or your family. There is an enemy of your soul. And what your enemy is after is your focus. He wants your focus. He's not so concerned about what you do if he can get your focus off your Creator and onto anything else. Because he understands wherever your focus is, wherever you have your mind, your thoughts, your heartbeat, whatever your focus turns to is going to control your emotions. So this is what we see with Peter, okay? Peter's in this situation. His focus gets away from Jesus and onto something else. And the Bible says he was afraid. See, the enemy wants your worship. But not because of the reason that you might think he wants your worship. The reason why he wants your worship is a focusing on God. It causes you, when you lift your hands, unless you think about the pot roast, right? That happens sometimes on Sunday. You know, you got your hands up, you're thinking about, but it causes your mind to focus in on Jesus. And as you're focusing in on Jesus, he loses his power over you. Now, I'm gonna date myself a little bit here. But in the 80s, we had these, if you have any bicycle riders, you have to ask this now. Growing up in my day, everybody had a bicycle. But now you got to ask, anybody ride a bike? You know, anybody remember how to ride bikes? All right, okay, we got a couple. But we had these bicycles. They had they were called banana seats. Yeah, okay, I'm among friends. So we had these banana seats, and I had this red one, and it had the big the big red seat, and it had a little metal bar on the back. I don't know what that was for. If you ever got that far back, you're in trouble. But it was there. And so I was riding my banana bike seat, you know, and I was the man, you know, getting it in, you know. I'm riding my deal, and I'm going down the sidewalk, and there was this one turn that I was always afraid of, because the side got all kind of clumped up, and there was this big tree, right? And I was like, I'm gonna hit that tree. And so what happened? I'd be riding down that road, and where would my eyes go, do you think? To the tree. And I'm like, now, guys, there's a whole street, there's sidewalk, there's grass, there's one tree. And in all that space, what do I hit on my banana bike? The tree. Why? Because of my focus. And when I was so focused on it, I began to get drawn into it and find myself in a position I didn't want to be. Okay, because here's the deal. Your focus matters. That's why when we come to church, it's so important. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm not used to the Sunday night, guys, so I'm trying to keep myself up a little bit, all right? I'm trying. But here's the deal, guys. When we come to church, that's why I try to teach my kids, do something. Worship. This is the worship in church. Lift a hand, you know, wave. Say, Jesus, I love you. Love you. Tap a foot. Do something to focus your worship in, because when you worship God, your focus goes on to Him and miracles can happen. A good friend of mine right here in the state of Wisconsin, he was visiting us at the time and we were at a service. His daughter was born with no ear canal. No ear canal at all. No ear canal. Well, in the middle of the service, at the end, there's this praise worship. They had the big subwoofers. Doosh, doosh, doosh. Everybody's heads hurting, right? It's an apostolic service, okay? UPCI, Pentecostal, fly, all bars hold. Well, in the middle of that situation, she comes running up to her. And I saw her go running up to her dad. And she's holding her ear. She's in my ear, my ear, my ear, my ear. And he comes and he takes her. And all she was doing is in the front worshiping. He takes and he tips and looks down her ear. And he sees God not only healed her, He created a new ear canal all the way in. Why? Because her focus and worship was on Him. Do you guys understand? You serve a miracle working God. Okay. So, your focus matters. Your focus matters. Someone say faith matters.
Faith matters.
Faith matters. Faith is interesting. I heard some stuff a lot about dominion. And there was a situation. Remember the disciples? They came and they tried to cast out a demon. And Jesus looked at them. Now, if you just take one gospel, you can miss a little bit of it. But when you take that story from all the gospels and compile them together, they come and say, Jesus, what's wrong? And he says, the problem was your faith. So what do you mean your faith? Then he goes on in the other gospel and he says, here's the deal. Faith, here we go. This kind, sometimes we attribute it to the demon. This kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. He's talking about faith. Faith comes by in hearing by the word of God. I was in a service and I was praying, and I've never taught this before. I really feel someone's gonna get touched tonight. Okay, this is why I wanna lay a little groundwork, and I'm gonna put the landing gear down. And the clock's broken, so I'm good for the next 4 hours at least, right? But I was in a service, and we were youth pastoring at the time, and I was walking back and forth, back in the back, and I'd been in a season of prayer and a season of fasting. And while I was sitting there, I was praying, looking to God. I felt the Lord speak to me. I was in the military, right? I was, Lord, help me, you know, up, doing this deal, up, down, sometimes consistent, sometimes not consistent. Why do I stop to say that? Because I want you to get beyond the idea that because someone stands up here and I got a tie on, because you see demonstration and power, it has to do with the vessel. It doesn't have to do with the vessel. If your enemy gets you thinking it has to do with the vessel and not about your Father, he'll be able to steal your faith. I'm walking there. I'm praying in the back. I've been praying. I've been fasting. And in that moment, the Lord speaks to me. And he says this. He says, Every person in your Sunday school classroom, every single person in your Sunday school classroom that asks God to fill them with the Holy Spirit, he says, I will immediately do it today. Right? And Saul was like, let's go. I'm like, okay. So I walk into that Sunday school classroom. I'm like a gunslinger, like the Western, you know. I'm like, just somebody draw. Somebody draw. And we had a good group of kids. Then I start looking around. We only have three of the regulars in the classroom. The other six are guests. I'm like, okay. So I start teaching, and I teach my heart out, right? And it was probably the worst lesson whatever I've ever taught, man. The kids were falling asleep. This time we were dealing with kids from they were inner city. It was a good experience. One time I stepped away just for a little bit because I was getting a prop to come back out, and I hear go go go, and I come running back out. They're break dancing in the center of the. Anyway, so if it's bad, they're gonna let you know it's bad. They're bored. They're sitting there, and I'm like, well. Thought I heard from God. I said, here's what God told me, guys. God said that anybody that wants to receive the Holy Ghost today, that's with the evidence speaking in tongues, he said he's going to fill you. But I felt something come on me, this faith. Why? Not because of anything that was spoken, but because I had received a word from God. This is what fasting does. This is why the core principles of the Bible are so important. Listen, and so one of the kids, he says, I want to receive the Spirit. Said, stand up, let's pray. He stands up, he lifts his hands. We stretch out our hands to pray. He had never seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't know anything except what I talked about. He starts speaking in tongues as the Spirit, the next one says, oh, I want some of that. He gets up, Holy Ghost. The girl says, can I receive it? Even with all the mess that I've done with my body, with everything, says, just lift up your hands. She lifts up her hands. The Holy Ghost falls upon her. She begins to speak in other tongues. God does it. God does it. God does it. Why? Because what you have apostolic, what you have inside of you is a Father that loves you and wants to do something in your life. But the question I want to ask you today, what do you do, though, when you don't know what to do? How many know prayer still works? How many really know prayer works? I mean, you really believe prayer works. Won't you let your voices out just a minute towards heaven to God right now and just begin to let your voice out in prayer just for a moment, just for a moment. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let some worship in with your voice there. Psalms 22, verse 3 says, he inhabits the praises of his people. It says he makes his throne there. When we worship him, when we praise him, he comes and he sits in that space with you. Someone say prayer still works. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Man, we're putting the landing gear down. You can already come back up and get ready on the keys. Cause I know it's gone long, so there's hope. The lights are down. The wheels are falling. We were in a church business meeting at the time, and in this business meeting, and yeah, the musicians, you guys can't come. I wasn't joking. Yeah, you guys can't. I know. Usually pastors say that and we get like four or five extra closings, right? We're in this meeting and we get a call. In the call, there's hysterics on the other end. And it's a lady from the church. And she's crying and she's like, I'm only a couple weeks in and my baby, she says, my water has broken. I'm at the hospital and they're saying there's no chance. Says, will you guys pray? Will you pray? And you can hear it. And we're sitting there, and my pastor at the time, he said, let's pray. We stopped everything, and we began to pray. We began to call on the name of Jesus. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Began to pray after the phone was hung. A little bit later, the phone rang back again. Phone rings back, and on the other end, you can hear her, and she's just ecstatic. She's like, we don't understand it. We can't, no one can explain it. Everything's back to normal. Everything's okay. And just the promise that God had, and they went on, she had these two little beautiful, beautiful, beautiful twins. Get you some of that, right? Because of the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous still avails much. This is core to who we are. It's core to what we do. But the question, and I love faith. I love operating in faith. I love speaking the word of faith. I love praying. I love seeing healings. I love seeing deliverance. I love it all. I get excited about it. I like to tell the stories. I like to encourage faith, loose faith, encourage the body of believers. It fills me up. It fills me up knowing what Jesus does and what he'll do for your life. He will change your life. He will turn things around. I love it. And 20 years old, a 20-year-old Ahi would have left it right there. Let's shout, let's pray. But I've lived a little while. Preached a little while. And I know sometimes after you pray, sometimes you're worshiping. The sickness doesn't leave your body. Can I be real? Sometimes you pay, you fast, you do what you're supposed to do. And it seems like God doesn't come through. So my question is, I love faith, I love healings. What do you do when you don't know what else to do? Where do you turn? When you've done everything you thought you should, and you look around and you find yourself in the valley of shadow of death. What are you going to do, Ahi, when you've been working and ministering and loving God and all of a sudden in all of that, there's people that come and file fraud against you and then that fraud turns into you losing your home and bankruptcy and what do you do? When the lights are off at church and you're at home, your arm around a wife, weeping at the loss of your firstborn. What do you do then, Ahi? Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I want to encourage a believer, when you don't know what to do, just do what you know to do. Because the enemy's got somebody on the ropes in this house right now. And he's been punching you. And he's been trying to convince you that Jesus just doesn't love you as much as he loves them. Otherwise, you would be getting blessed the way that they would be getting blessed. He did a miracle for them. Why won't he do a miracle for me? Can I tell somebody? When you don't know what to do, don't you stop worshiping. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop being faithful. Don't you, my word. I wish I could just come and just do the evangelistic thing and say everything will be done now, but that's not the word that God gave. God is reaching for somebody who's thinking about throwing in the towel, and he's saying, no. I want you to get a heart of Job that will say in the middle of your darkest valley, though he slay me, yet. You track the history of the apostles. You track the history of the church fathers. It was not the great miracles that changed the world. It was the folks who had a yet in their spirit. It was the folks who were on a stake being burned alive that said, I will not recant the name of Jesus. It's the folks that from the middle of your darkest valley, the middle of your ashes, you look up to heaven. And when everybody else would say, you should throw in the towel, you should just curse God and die, your life looks worse than it is now than it was when you were living in the world, you should just give up. It's the one that when everybody else is seeing how bad your situation, they can't understand a voice that cries out in the dark that says, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. And this, that is my confidence. It's not my circumstance. It's not my dilemma. My dilemma, my faith is that I'm in your hands, Jesus. Oh, my word, Jesus. All over this place, let's stand to our feet. These altars are open. These altars are open. God is reaching to somebody's heart right now. The enemy's trying to take you out, but God has sent a word to you. Don't give up now. I know Ziglag looks dark. I know your enemy's against you. I know your friends are picking up stones to stone you. But can you encourage yourself in the Lord tonight? Can something rise up into you that rose up in the hearts of the apostles who were crucified upside down, who were run through with spears, who were stoned? That there be something in your heart that says, Jesus, I'm not turning back. Jesus, I'm not walking away. My best days are before me. But if not, yet will I serve him. Oh, God.